We are blessed indeed to be here tonight. My wife and I are becoming friends of Grace of Calvary Baptist Church and really do appreciate so much the invitation to come for the SWORD Conference and also to present our ministry. We are missionaries to prisons, United States prisons, and we're thankful for the privilege it's been for 28 years to serve the Lord in our nation's prisons. Jesus said, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it?" That's scripture. And we know that he is showing us an example of the shepherds seeking that sheep that's gone astray and seeking and seeking and seeking until he finds it. Our ministry is seeking sheep gone astray, and that's what they've done. They've broken laws, they've violated, and are actually now in prison because of the consequences. And our call, my wife and I, we are called to go and to reach those lost sheep. Amen. And God's blessed us and given us the privilege over 28 years now to be in 23 facilities, like the old time circuit riders. We go to the same one generally every 90 days and have see the same faces, and some of them are growing in the Lord, and we thank God to report that. Over the years, we've had privilege of seeing over 9,400 precious souls trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. 109 this year to date. And somebody always has in the thought, well, how many really got saved, Brother Jim? As many as really believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And so we're taking the message and taking that message of truth to the prisons that they need to hear, and then we're letting the Lord sort it all out. And we're believing because we're seeing evidence in those prisons, those ones I tell you that we see over and over, growing in the Lord. Amen. That's a good thing. Those I could tell you about that actually are out of prison now, that we have occasion to meet, to see, to actually have a chance to find out what they've been doing, how they're doing. That's a great, great just example of what God's goodness is in reaching a lost soul and establishing that life. I know Christ is the answer. I have no problem with that because I know where I was. I know where I was when he found me. In 1986, I was on the streets of Jacksonville, Florida. I was a product of sin in my life. They brought me there to that place without my vehicle, no place to stay, in a rescue mission for the first time in my life, and heard about Jesus at the Trinity Rescue Mission, Jacksonville, Florida. And I heard that it wasn't the balancing act between the good and the bad I'd ever done in my life. But I heard it was about what he had done on the cross of Calvary. And God, Jesus Christ the Lord, saved my soul on July 11, 1986. Hallelujah. Delivered from the bondage of drinking and drugs that had been plaguing me. I was by then 37. And my life was ruined, as you would consider a life. Praise God for a new life. Hallelujah. Amen. I do thank the Lord for my good wife that's with me tonight. I graduated Bible school in 1991. And I knew I was called to go to prisons and jails. And I knew I wouldn't be able to handle a wife while I was in school. In Bible school, but as I graduated and knew I was going to prison mission field, I started to pray. Figured it'd take God, probably for a long time to find a wife for me. And I want to thank the Lord because He knew first of all that I needed to raise some support before I could have a wife. So I was able to raise some support. Took about 2 years, and then got to meet at my dear wife's church. She was singing in the choir in Auburn, Maine. And I got to meet her. It was like, Apostle Paul said, the scales fell from his eyes. And I thank the Lord Jesus. I hauled her up and asked her if she would go out with me for a date. Ask her pastor if it'd be okay to take her out. And she did. She said yes. We went and had Chinese food or something that night. But praise God. Started up a Mall Bell romance. In those days, there were no unlimited minutes. We all had little cards that we would dial in the motel rooms and charge by the minute. And thank God, she said yes when I asked her to marry her. And we got in 1994, May 28th, praise God, together. Now 25 years serving the Lord. And we're blessed indeed to have the privilege to actually be working together. She'll sing in the chapel services. And she comes with me in all our meetings. And ask that you pray, please, for Yvonne. September next month starts up, she's got a cataract surgery on each eye, the 16th and the 23rd. And we're hoping and praying, and I hope to God that she doesn't have any eyesight loss up to the point of that surgery and also after it's over. But we're going to serve God till Jesus comes together in our nation's prisons. The work goes on. 23 facilities, 28 years. I had recent meetings just before we came up for the New York service last Sunday. We were in Bristol, Florida at the Liberty South Unit. God blessed us there. We had two services and two nights, and then I believe it would be the will of the Lord if the head chaplain would let us have four services next year. So we're going to schedule 2020 and ask him about that. Mid-state service at Marcy, New York was a blessing. The AM service wasn't exactly a packed out house, but it was a pretty good crowd for that facility. And we had a new visitor that came out to the chapel, the first time inmate. You know, they get to come to the chapel if they want to. They don't have to come. And this man came, gave a testimony. It was his first time. Thank the Lord he trusted Jesus. Him and six others asked the Lord to save them just that Sunday morning. The chaplain there at Mid-State, he takes a pastoral interest in his inmates. He's not just, you know, doesn't just come in there and draw a check. He actually wants to teach and lead those men. And he asked a question, and I hadn't ever heard a chaplain ask. He asked, what does a volunteer ministry, like myself and my wife, what does a volunteer ministry mean to you guys? I mean, you're in prison, and they're coming here to minister the gospel. What does it mean to you, and how does it help? So he asked for testimonies. And one man stood up and says, I've learned to put myself aside to the preaching of the gospel at that prison and put Jesus first. Amen. I thought that was good. Next one stood up and said, structure. I needed that in my life, and I'm a work in progress. And he acknowledged, if you know better, you'll do better. So he was growing. Another one stood up and said, I learned to apply myself. Another says, I must follow the Lord. I cannot allow gray areas in my life. He's talking about those little indecisive places where you could go either way. He's decided he shouldn't allow any of that to come in his life. I thank the Lord, I do, for those chapel regulars, and they seem to be getting it. And we just give God the glory for those men. We know that God's called us to be there with them. We're thankful for the chaplain inviting us for next year to come twice again in January and August. And ask that you please, when you think about us, myself and my wife, the Rumseys, be sure, by the way, to get a prayer card. Keep that in your Bible, and you can use that as a reminder to pray for us. Get a prayer card and pray for souls. Pray Holy Ghost anointing for the preaching of the gospel, ministry of the gospel and song. Pray for souls. and pray for safety. We travel to our meetings, and it's 40,000 miles a year, and the Lord's kept us harm-free or hurt-free. Praise the Lord for all these years, plus over a million and nearly 400,000 miles. I can tell you stories about things God has done on the highways to give us that safety. And I thank God for people praying. Surely do. And revival is a prayer request I always ask, because there are some Christian inmates in these prisons. There's some, and they need revival. They need to take a stand for the Word of God, for the Lord Jesus in those prisons. And then they become the messenger, actually by their testimony in the prison itself. They become the messenger to the other inmates that I can't even go and talk to, probably. But they can shine a light for them. So pray for revival for Christian inmates in our prisons. And I thank God for the privilege to come to this church this evening. Love your pastor. And thank God for just this opportunity to share the Word of God. If you have a Bible tonight, in Psalm 107, preached a mission message at the Sword Conference, and I'll just preach a prison message tonight. Psalm 107, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gather them out of the lands from the east and from the west, and from the north and from the south. And then look over at the last verse of the chapter, verse 43. Whoso is wise and observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you bless the reading of the Word of God. I pray that the Holy Spirit has anointing for preaching the gospel. And ask, dear God, that you just have your sweet will and way in every heart and every life. We thank you, Jesus, for Calvary, for salvation by grace through faith. We ask in Jesus' name that you'd help us as believers to be faithful till you come. I pray in Jesus' name that you would just watch over us and keep us. And God, that you, Lord God, would get glory through the lives of your people. Bless this church. Keep your hand upon it. Thank you, dear God, for the vision this church possesses of reaching the lost. I pray that you and Lord Jesus continue to marvelously bless the projects that are planned. I pray, God, that your just provision would be abundant and ample for every undertaking. And we'll give you the praise and give you the glory for those souls that come to you through the ministry here in Erie. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Psalm 107. If I were to title a message, I'd say, God is always there. He's always there. When we read this chapter, we'll see His hand is with His people here. And whatever happens in our lives is to bring us closer to Him. There's these first three verses that I read, praise and thanksgiving, and not being afraid to say so. Verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. The last verse, that last verse 43 that we read, lets us know why that we should be thankful. Why be thankful? It says, whoso is wise. Oh, maybe me, maybe you. Whoso is wise and will observe these things. Well, what things, Brother Jim? What things? Well, when we get into this song and look at it, these things are going to be troubles, hardships, difficulties. And whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they, those that are observant, shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And Psalm 107 here is a song of praise. A song of praise. There's five stanzas, actually. We'll break them down this evening. Five stanzas. And each describes one of life's different scenarios filled with troubles. Sometimes they're self-inflicted, and sometimes they're God-sent. But they're all providentially arranged, each of these, and there's a purpose in each. It is to show that God loves you. That God loves you, and that He will do all that it takes to get you closer to Him. All that it takes. Because that's what He does. He loves. He loves us. We're looking at a song of praise. A song of praise. And I want to preach a little while tonight on God is always there. God is always there. Even if you don't care, He's always there. Psalm 107, a song of praise meant to be sung by the children of men. And here's the problem. The problem is that sometimes we would rather go it alone. Would rather, without His guidance, just step out and go it alone. And when we do, be sure that we'll get into trouble. That's just what's going to happen. We'll get into trouble. And when we get into trouble, be sure that He's right there. He's right there in the midst of it. And He's either bringing it, bringing more of it, or there to deliver us out of it. The first stanza in this song, we begin in verse 4. The Bible says there, they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with a goodness. This first stanza, this shows them, or us even, if you would consider, shows us hungry, thirsty, and given up altogether. And why is that? Why is that? They're wandering in the wilderness without God's direction, without Him. The read in verse 4, they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way, found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Shows fainted soul, a fainted soul, hungry and thirsty, wandering, lost. You ever been there? Ever been to that place in your life? Well, when you are, that's right where God wants you. That's right where God wants you. Look at verse 6. They cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and delivered them out of their distresses. Thank you, Jesus, and praise God for deliverance. Wandering, lost in the wilderness, hungry and thirsty, and finally crying out to God for deliverance, and He does. And He does. Hallelujah. And what do you get? What's the benefit? The benefit. You like the blessings of God? Benefit, yes. He led them forth, verse 7, by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Verse 9, for He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. not cry out to God? Why would someone want to rather go it alone instead of crying out to the Lord? Well, that's pride. That's pride. And that's the last human trait that we'll ever really see to get rid of. I got saved in a rescue mission in 1986, Jacksonville, Florida. I worked on staff there for over a year, breaking up fights because they were fighting in for a place in the line, a soup line, without a nickel in their pockets. Somebody jump in front, and there the battle is on. Pride. It's the last thing we really ever want to get rid of, is that human pride. Why? Why would that be, that we have a problem with pride? Well, the attitude is, I don't need God's help. I mean, not saying we say that, but the attitude, I don't need God's help. I want to make it on my own. Some would say even this. I mean, they would think, maybe not say it, but I don't want to go through my whole life with a crutch. I don't want to be dependent. A crutch. Well, if that's what you're thinking, you must have never broke your ankle. You must have never really needed a crutch. Break your ankle and see what you start thinking about a crutch. Amen. Crutches hold you up. Crutches help you walk. You can't get anywhere without your crutch. I don't mind telling you this evening, I sure do need to lean on God. I need to lean on Him at all times. He is my crutch. So, Brother Jim, is that embarrassing? Are you embarrassed by that? No, not really. It is what it is. There's a song, and you've heard it. Maybe you're singing. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Well, the closer that we take that for real, the better off we are. Amen. This stanza shows us that God is always there to deliver us if we cry out for His help. But He'll let us stay. He'll let us stay in there in the wilderness. But you could even go to the next level of troubles. There's a depth of progression here from one stanza to the next. So we look at that second stanza now, which begins in verse 10. First, there's alone in the wilderness and now helpless in their rebellion. Helpless in their rebellion. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction in iron. Because, here's the reason, they rebelled against the words of God and contemned or fought the counsel of the Most High. Therefore He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them. Hallelujah, I like that word. Saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. We're seeing the chorus again. For He hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Hallelujah. People could get used to going it alone. They could, and they could go on. People could get to a place where they rebel against God's word and go on suffering the consequences. But He's still right there. He's still right there behind you. And He's either bringing it or He's ready to bring deliverance. He's ready to bring deliverance. Did you see again there in verse 13? Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. Glory to God, and thank you, Jesus. He is there. He is there in the midst of these troubles. What troubles? Sitting in darkness, in the shadow of death, bound in affliction because of their rebellion, bound in affliction as a result. By the way, you ever been there? Ever been to that place in your life? Bound in affliction. Heart brought down with labor. None nowhere to help. Well, if you're right there or you've been there, then you know that he's right there too. He's right there too. And he's either bringing more of it or crying out to him for deliverance. Out of the shadow of death, with bonds broken. Glory, glory, hallelujah. When you cry out, there's where the blessing is, the benefit is. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, verse 14, and break their bands in sunder. Oh, hallelujah. He will, even bound by sin, he'll still be there to deliver that soul from that bondage. When I go into those prisons and I speak of bondage, being bound, they understand it. Not a problem. They know they've been between handcuffs and brought in, moved and stuff like that, and security, high security, or even in a detention cell, they know bondage. And some might say this. Some inmates might say, well, Brother Jim, I've got 5 more years, or 10, or 15. My bonds aren't going anywhere. And I have to say this. There are physical bonds, for sure, those cuffs and those detention cells. There are physical bonds, but there are spiritual bonds. There are spiritual bonds that once one is bound by them, they bring on hopelessness. Hopelessness for a lifetime, even then in eternity, perhaps, if there's no atonement for sin. Only Jesus has the power to break the bonds of sin. Only Jesus, and he does. And we see verse 14 one more time. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. There might be someone here tonight that can identify with that bondage, the bondage that sin can affect in life. And maybe you have already made that cry and cried out to God for that mercy and deliverance. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you that this is a step down from the original wandering. This is because of rebellion now. And it's even harsher than wandering alone. But there is even another step. This next stanza, I'd like for you to see. Verse 17. Verse 17 is the third stanza of this psalm. Fools, because of their transgression, because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. He saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works too, the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. People could get used to going alone. People get to a place where they rebel against God. He's still right there. He's still right there. But going on in our rebellion, continuing in our rebellion, brings us even closer to the brink of death. This is where they are. They're even said to be fools in verse 17. Became fools. And we know what the Bible defines a fool as. Him that saith in his heart, there is no God. And got to the place in their life where they don't even want to eat. Don't even want to eat. Look at this. Their soul, verse 18, abhorreth, or ugh, disgusting, abhorreth all manner of meat. And they draw near to the gates of death. You ever seen a meth addict? Someone strung out on that drug to the point they would rather have that next rig or that next hit than something to eat? Or maybe an old drunk there at the convenience store got a handful of coins he picked up on the sidewalk or something and got just enough now for a bottle of wine that he goes to get instead of something to eat. because of their affliction is being brought to the brink of death, right at the gates. Sometimes there's not even a concern there. Sometimes there's not even a concern there at the brink of death. But look, even those there at the brink of death could cry unto the Lord in their trouble, verse 19, and he saveth them out of their distresses. Woo, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, how I'm glad that even the Lord will save someone that's gone so far that he would even rather pass away and go off into eternity. But if he'll cry out unto the Lord, God is there, right there to save. Look there at verse 20. He sent his word, healed them, and delivered them from their destruction. Hallelujah. They healed, delivered. Glory to God. He's right there bringing deliverance. The word, he sent his word. By the way, we know John chapter 1 that the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We know that he is the word, Jesus. Our Lord Jesus is the word. And so I'm just saying tonight that healing, that delivering is in the hand of Jesus. The hand of Jesus, our Lord, the Savior. Jesus is the Word. And he delivered them. And that is what you're looking for. That is what your need is. If you're at that place in your life, you surely do need. Surely do need. Just cry out to him. And somebody, it's even shown in the Word, somebody this close to being dead in their trespasses and in sin, once they cry out unto God for deliverance, verse 22, let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. They won't have any trouble telling somebody what it was and who it was that delivered them. And there's not really an indication in the fourth stanza that this is a result of rebellion or even a disobedience. We could maybe call it a result of going out on the water. But let's look at it. This is the verse 23. They that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. And then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. And he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves are ever still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. Melted souls in the storm. It's God himself that raises up the wind and lifts the waves, Scripture shows us. And those, because of there, so afflicted, are fearful. They're staggering at their wits' end in those big waves. Ever been there? Ever been to a place in your life where you're fearful and staggering at your wits' end? See verse 27 again. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. We don't see that it is a result of any wrongdoing necessarily or any rebellion, but we do see that storms are real. Storms are real, and there will be storms in our lives, that's for sure. And when we're in a storm, when we do have storms, He's right there. He's right there too. And He's either bringing it, or He's there to give us peace, deliverance. Verse 28, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. Glory, hallelujah. There is nothing sweeter than the calm after a storm. After the calm, after a storm. Look, verse 29. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves are ever still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So He bringeth them into their desired haven. That's what we're looking for. And praise God for the calm. Psalm 107. We see tonight each of these stanzas, or each of these verses, if you would call them that in a hymn book, each of these stanzas, there's a transition or bridge that music people know about. I had to look it up, find out what a bridge was. You know, a bridge in music is used to contrast and prepare for the return of the next verse and its chorus. So it's used to make that transition from verse to verse. Each bridge in this psalm follows the previous verse's chorus. So the bridges are in verse 9, verse 16, verse 22, verse 32. And each describes the benefits to the child of God for calling on Him, for calling on the Lord, for praising Him. We'll not read them all, but they're there, those benefits. We've read them in the psalm itself, verse 9, verse 16, verse 22, verse 32. This psalm is a song, and these verses are used as a bridge. The verses here are as a bridge to make a transition to the next stanza and another of life's scenarios brought to us by God. The lesson, there's a lesson. The lesson in this psalm for each of us, they cried unto the Lord. They cried unto the Lord. This repeats itself in each of these stanzas, verse 6, verse 13, verse 19, verse 28, with just slight variations there. They cried unto the Lord in their troubles, and He delivered them out of their distresses. Each life scenario here, from wandering in the wilderness to sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death, to sending fools actually at the gates of death, to the intense storms of life, all of these, because of the goodness of God, He has a way of deliverance. He has that way of deliverance when we cry out to Him. This shows that God is always there. He's always there in the midst of these troubles. And these things happen in life. They happen in life to bring us closer to Him. Just to bring us closer to Him. And these life scenarios each include man's plea to God. It's a personal plea. They cried unto the Lord in their trouble and delivered them out of their distresses. He's just right there. He's always right there in the midst of these troubles. But remember when there is that sweet deliverance. That sweet deliverance, remember to praise Him. To praise Him for His wonderful works. And these are the wonderful works that this chorus has been telling us about. These difficulties, these troubles. Now the final stanza, the final stanza from verse 33 to 43 is a long, lengthy stanza here. It concludes the song with a reminder of God's majesty and power. His majesty, His power. I'll just read some of it, but it's from verse 33. We can look at some. He turned rivers into wilderness and the water springs into dry ground. A fruitful land into barrenness and for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He can do that. God can do that. He turns the wilderness into a standing water and dry ground into water springs. He can do that. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields and plant vineyards, which may yield fruit to increase. He can do that. He blessed them. He blessed them also so that they are multiplied greatly and suffer not their cattle to decrease. He can do that. Again, they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He can even do that. His majesty, his power. The moral again, we see in verse 43, whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Understand the loving kindness of the Lord. And yes, it is loving kindness. It is loving kindness. As he'll do all it takes. All it takes to get you closer to him. And I'm finished tonight with the chorus. The chorus. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Wonderful works is called. Wonderful works. Yeah, those troubles. All those troubles. Wonderful, I want you to know, is this. Wonderful is greater than fantastic. I'll just go online and say that. Greater than fantastic. It's more like phenomenal. Something phenomenal, by the way, is known even through the senses, as well as by observation. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You can know that he's with you. The Lord is with you. So the wonderful works in the chorus, and songs are meant to be sung, for sure. And I'm going to sing the chorus tonight for you to the tune of. Now you need, when you're going to have to sing something consisting of words like we have here in this verse, you have to have something for it to rhyme with, the melody. You've got to have, I mean, so what would that be? We're looking at the chorus. And I got to thinking about when I was a little boy. And the first grade teacher in our school taught all the little boys and girls a song. And it goes like this. A hunting we will go, a hunting we will go. Hi ho the derry-o, a hunting we will go. And that's it. That's it. We can sing it now. Ho, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Got it? Huh? How about that? Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Hallelujah, the wonderful works of God. And God's wonderful works are not just limited to these, not just limited to these that we see in Psalm 147. What are God's wonderful works to the children of men, to you, to me? Well, he promised never to leave you or forsake you. That's greater than fantastic. Hallelujah. With us. He's also promised to meet our needs. This is a greater than fantastic promise from God. Hallelujah. It's something that God does for his children. And the most wonderful is salvation by grace through faith. Salvation by grace through faith. It's greater than fantastic. Something that God does for a sinner that cries out unto him for mercy. Jesus, God's only begotten Son, gave his life on the cross to be the final sacrifice for our sins. And it had to be. It had to be Jesus, that God would be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. You can read Romans chapter 3 and verse 26 and see that there. It had to be. It couldn't be any other. And you either believe that he is or you don't. You either want his mercy or you don't. But if you reject him, if you reject a merciful God, he'll cast you into the lake of fire. Merciful God, Brother Jim, merciful? Yes. Yes, he's merciful, and he sent his son to do that wonderful work of atonement for our sins. The only ones that go to hell are those that want to or just don't care. So heads bowed and eyes closed this evening. Where were you in your life when you cried out to God for deliverance? At what point, at what place in your life? Were you wandering lost? In bondage, perhaps? Or at the brink of death? Were you terrified in one of life's storms? Aren't you glad that he delivered you? Aren't you glad that he delivered you? This psalm is a reminder to sing his praises, to sing his praises for what he's done in our lives. And maybe this evening you're still in the wilderness. Maybe you're still there. And the Holy Spirit has said, cry out to God. The Holy Spirit speaking to you and saying, cry out to God. Well, you can do that. You can do that right now. Or maybe you're still in bondage, still bound by sin. Cry out to God. You can do that right now. Father in heaven, in Jesus' name, we do pray that you'd bless. Thank you, Lord God, for these wonderful works in our lives that bring us to you. Thank you that you're there and you love us, every bit of it. You love us through all of it. Thank you, dear God, for being willing to do whatever it takes to bring us to you. I pray tonight if there's one here that still wants